The kids can be dismissed towards the doors as Marilee is giving signals and signs. Man, we looked really full until the kids leave. Church of a lot of kids. It's interesting, when I worked at Home Depot in Bellevue, people like dogs more than they like kids at the store sometimes. They'd go out of their way. People would have like little treats for dogs. And then if a kid was crying, oh gosh. Get the kid out of the store. Get the kid. Just go, go, go. But that's kind of a sign of our culture, kind of a sign of our times that we live in and we're in. But I believe that a child's a blessing. My kid yesterday ripped his fingernail off, and he's coming into the house. He's like, Dad! And it's like, Mom's gone. It's like, oh boy, got to step it up. Hit freeze on that football game. Hold on a second. I got to pause here. And I didn't know what exactly happened because I just saw part of the, you know, it looked like part of the finger was off, and I didn't know it was. And he's like, it hurts. I'm like, yeah, it hurts. And luckily, he just ripped the nail off. And so then, of course, he wanted to bring it to church last night, you know, for the barbecue and show all his friends. And I was thinking he's going to ask if he could put it under his pillow. Figure like, hey, if you lose a nail, maybe you get money. The nail fairy comes and gives you cash for for body parts that you lose throughout your life. You know, tooth is $2. Nail's worth like 50, you know, $5. I don't know. What is the value? What is the value? Today we've been talking in this last 4 weeks about the Holy Spirit, and I was thinking as listening to the tapes and the different things of what does that mean? What is that purpose? And I want to start off with a couple of questions, and then I'll at some point, if I do well, I'll hopefully answer these. But what is God's answers for your struggle? Anybody have a struggle? Are you all struggle-free? Is there something you struggle with that's difficult for you? And does God have a plan for your struggle? Does he have an answer? Or is he like, you got me on that one, stumped. Don't got no plan. Man, I didn't see that one coming. Surprise, shocker. What about today? What about, anybody ever watch the news? For like 20 minutes, you have to turn it off. But there's such racial tension. There's terrorism. What's God's answer for radical Islam? What's God's answer for the presidential race? What's God's answer? Does God have an answer? Or is he sitting there going, I don't know what to do. What do I do, George? What do I do? Jesus, what do you think? You know, is he perplexed by our situation? Is he overwhelmed with like, I believe he has a plan. I believe I'm going to read a scripture at the end that declares what his plan is for those issues. Now, some of you might think, well, I didn't like that answer, Jim, but I believe that's his answer. And we're going to discuss those things. We're going to look at this text and where we've been in Acts and talking about the Holy Spirit, and I've seen a couple. It's interesting that how movies depict Jesus. One recently saw the last Ben-Hur movie, which realized that I never seen the first Ben-Hur movie. And then I was going to rent it, and then I looked at the length of the movie, the old one, was 273 minutes. I realized that was like almost 4 hours. I was like, yeah, skip. but in the new one, there's a couple moments where he's in the movie, but like there's a scene where Judas betrays him and Peter cuts off the ear, but he doesn't heal the ear. And what I realize is that they love Jesus as long as Jesus is just human. They remove the super part of Jesus, the supernatural, because that just doesn't nice Jesus. Fits well in Hollywood. He's just a good guy. But he that is able to do supernatural things, skip that part. Let's look in Acts 1. So that's just a backdrop, some thoughts, some things to think about. And so again, Jesus dies, resurrects. He's spent some time with the disciples hanging out. And they're going back and they're convinced of the proof that he's alive. And he's been speaking to them in verse 3 about the kingdom. And they're gathered together. And then he says, "That which you have heard me say, that John baptized in water, but I shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit not from many days from now." And they were asking him together, and they said to him, "Lord, is it now the time to restore the kingdom?" Have you ever thought something and realized that for like years you were wrong? Like you built your whole premise on a wrong thought. That's what happened to the disciples. They missed the whole purpose of the kingdom. For 3 years, they thought Jesus was going to set up a natural kingdom that was going to overthrow Rome's control over Israel. And there was going to be, and he was going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they were going to reign and have this great kingdom. So when they sit there and say things like, "Can I sit at your left or your right?" They were thinking, "Can I be Secretary of State? Can I be Vice Pres? They were looking for offices of position. And even here, he's coming back. They're like, "Oh, I know." I mean, could you imagine Pete's relief? "I know I denied you 3 times before the cross. Thank God you're raised again. So can we do it again? Can we reset it? Can we now have this earthly kingdom come about?" But think of their history. How many times did Israel struggle in its walk with the Lord, and it would be overtaken, and then there would be kings would rise up or judges? This was their history. This is all they knew was this way. Was that this natural thing would arise in this natural kingdom, and there'd be a king and or a prophet or a judge, and then we would reign and we would have our border and we'd be the children of God. Then of course he answers them, and they didn't quite, I'm sure they didn't fully get it. But basically he said the whole thing was just wait. And I believe for us that one of the biggest hindrances for our walk in the spirit is our natural mindset. Are any of you locked down by natural reasoning? I mean, Pastor Justin last week said, "Do you talk yourself out of the supernatural? Do you downplay the miraculous? Do you like to take that part out of the Bible that doesn't make sense? Well, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know, maybe God did it. He supersedes." Like, well, that just doesn't make sense. How could that happen? That doesn't flow into the natural law of life. It doesn't work for me. And I believe the first thing that the Holy Spirit did was break that mindset in his disciples. That was the first thing after 3 years of being with him. After spending all that time, he had to confront this natural mindset that hindered them from fully understanding his purpose. And the only way that could come would be by the releasing of the baptism and to be filled in the Spirit. Does your natural mindset hinder your spiritual walk? Are there things that have happened in your life that cause you to have a hard time believing God for his spiritual provision for tomorrow because of what's happened or what's taken place? In Galatians, Paul is talking to the Galatians, writing to them, and he's talking about the Spirit. He's talking about walking in the Spirit in Galatians 5:16, and he says, "But I walk by the Spirit. And when you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the desires, for the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." And so these are in opposition one to another. Now again, let's not be wrong. Like, you can like chocolate, it's okay. Like, you can enjoy a nice steak. Please don't have it well done. Please. Please don't torture that poor steak. Take all the goodness out of it. It's okay to like things, to enjoy things. But again, what he's talking about is that the flesh, these carnal desires that will go contrary to what the Spirit wants to do. They're at war. And what we like to do is, because we're, you know, democracy, we like compromise. Well, let's let one win today and let one win tomorrow. Let's find a place to compromise. But what happens when you compromise? There's no place for this. The Spirit wants to rule. The Spirit wants to reign. The Spirit, in verse 17, how many have heard it said that we don't live under law, we live under grace? But I love it this in verse 17, it says, verse 18, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. Because when you're led by the Spirit, there's no need for the law to govern. There's no need, because you're always going to be in right step. You're going to be in right tune. You're going to see those things take place. When I was in Master's Commission in Spokane, there was a blind guy that would tune the pianos. And so every like couple of months, this guy would come in, and I'd talk to him, and he'd have somebody literally come up to set him down, and he would sit there, been blind for, I think he said it, he lost his sight like in his early teens. And he would just sit there and play, but his ears were so tuned that he could just sit there, and then he would just start, okay, that's good. So he was inability to see naturally, but his ears were so tuned to the sound that he knew perfect sound. And I talked to him about all the different, I'd ask him questions about all the different places and things that he had traveled, and this is what his job. So he had a little assistant, he had a couple tools, and he'd go, how tuned in are we to the Spirit? Are we like that man to where we can just sit down to, and we can just, oh, that's a little, we know the tweak there, and a little, or are we just like, just oblivious? Are we oblivious to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit? When he says, hey, stop for a second. Take a moment. Turn that off. Come to me. I need to speak. I need to refresh. I need to pull you away. I mean, again, we look and marvel at Jesus, but how many times did he go sleepless to be refilled by the Spirit of the Lord? And this guy was without sin. Oh, gosh, I'm never going to sleep. Right? I mean, if he never had to sleep, I mean, he had to be pulled away to be refilled, to be ministered by the Spirit of the Lord. Man, are we so consumed or so distracted? I don't want to say sin, because I think sin, you get into art. Are we just so distracted that we're missing the God moments? Are we so distracted that we're missing what God's called us to and what God has for us? So we are called to walk in the Spirit. Now, how about you? But that's kind of like, that's a little weird. How does that, like, I like things that make sense. 2 + 2 = 4. Anything above that is above my pay grade. But right, I like the simple things in life. You know, I'm pretty sure that after Sunday is Monday. You know, and I just like my little routines. But what if Jesus wants to upset your apple cart? What if Jesus has a different plan? What if the Holy Spirit's come to fill your life and things are going to change? What if your mindset needs to be broken? On some vehicles, they have limiters and governors on how fast they can go. How many limits and governors have you put on your spiritual walk? And said, well, that's a little weird. I don't do weird. Don't want to be associated with weird. Not available for that. God speaks somewhere else. Use someone else. Find somebody else. But what if God was using you to be a blessing for someone else, and you just kind of turned it off? It's not available today. It's interesting. One of the pastors that when we traveled with, he was an Uber driver. Well, that's an interesting pastime. And I was talking to him, and he said he had all these conversations. I go, well, how do you, like, when he goes, all you got to do is turn the app on. Whenever you turn the app on, you're available. How often is your spiritual app on? How often are you available for the Holy Spirit? Or does it, you ever go to those websites under maintenance and construction, come back later? Is the Holy Spirit getting that call on when he knocks on your door? Because I'm just too busy doing the natural life. I'm just too busy doing the things that I think I need to do. I'm too busy just doing the American dream. I got news. I think God thinks you can do both. I think you can walk in the realms of his spirit. So then here we see in John. What was Jesus is teaching his disciples about the Holy Spirit, recognizing that he was probably laying a groundwork for something that would take a while for it to kick in. And he talks about in John 16, the promise of the Holy Spirit. But I must go, verse 6, but because I have said these things, they were sorrow in their heart. But I tell you the truth, that it is your advantage that I go away, so that this helper will come to you. And I will send him to you, and he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and no longer behold. And concerning judgment, because the rulers of this world will be judged. And many more things I say to you that I cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Do you realize the Holy Spirit is given to be your personal, private guide in the walk in the Spirit? He's there to help and assist you to fulfill the predestined call of your life. And so now again, one of the things that's going to hinder your call is if you walk in the flesh. So he's going to, every once in a while, say, hey, Jimmy, what you said to your wife last night, not good. You need to go back and apologize. You need to humble yourself. Oh, Lord, no, I don't receive that word. I resist because that is not, I am the head, she is the tail. No, right? Do you listen to that voice? Because if I'm not listening to that voice, am I really going to be able to listen to the voice when it comes to releasing his spiritual kingdom? If when he comes to convict and say, hey, you're out of order, and bring me into right order, but then I want to turn around on Sunday morning and say, thus saith the Lord, hallelujah. Is there going to be a disconnect? Is there going to be something off? Man, nothing fills a soul like a good black church. Closing for the first time. But how well is your relationship with your personal guide? Are you guys like strangers? Those awkward moments? You ever like see somebody like, I want to go say hi to him, you go hi, and it's just awkward the whole time. Like, we have these moments in GL all the time, because when you travel, you try to make conversation. And so you go up to somebody and you start talking to them, and it's just not going anywhere. And they're like looking over their shoulder, like, and you're like, hey, so how long have you been going here? What? Did you say something? I'm sorry. I'm like really not interested. I'm like, yeah, I noticed. Thank you. Moving on. Right? Is that the relationship you have with the Holy Spirit? Is it awkward? Is it uncomfortable? Because this is designed to lead you in all truth. He has every answer that you need. He knows the time. The beginning of the book, how does it start? And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over a void. And then it says, and the Lord spoke, let there be light. The Holy Spirit is there first. He's the first responder. He's the first one on the scene, preparing, working, getting you ready for your purpose and your call. I kind of tend to be one of those guys that could easily get down the conspiracy theories. Love a good conspiracy theory. I mean, there's nothing better than a good conspiracy theory. I mean, when I was in high school, I mean, I was all in on the JFK conspiracy theories. I mean, I had them down. I'd watch them. I was into it. It was pretty crazy. I wasn't buying the one-shot, single-shot theory. It just wasn't happening for me. I had all these other. And then the movie came out. Oh, my gosh, that was even better. If you're a conspiracy theorist, the Holy Spirit's perfect for you. You know why? Because there is someone that wants to stop you. There is a plan to hinder you. There is a desire to eliminate you. And you know what's interesting? It says of the enemy, it's not, he doesn't just want to kill. He doesn't just want to steal. He wants to destroy. To utterly destroy. And so what? You think if he can't get you, he's thinking your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids. I'll win. And so if we're not... But what do? We think we're spiritual, but then we battle in natural realms. We don't know how to attack in a spiritual sense. We don't know how to walk it out. We don't know how to live it out. And we become victims. One of the biggest dangers I believe the church struggles with is a life of routine. Just doing the same thing every day. How boring is that? Do you really think that God created everything? That he didn't want there to be moments? That we're all of a sudden, you're like, you wouldn't believe, you came home, you're like, honey, you would not believe what happened. I just got to tell you, it was the craziest thing. This guy was going crazy. Road rage rose up. I rebuked it. I pulled him over. Got him filled with the Holy Ghost. Now that would be crazy. What usually happens? Well, I got ticked off back. So I gave him a bird and I flipped him on and I ran down. I gave an opportunity to the flesh to manifest itself. Oops. Bad day. But why couldn't the other be the more normal day? Why are we so subject to our flesh? How many times a month do you say, I had a bad day today? You have the guide, the Holy Spirit, and we're just full of bad days. How is that possible? Because we don't know him. It's not functioning. We're like milk. Only 2%. We got 2% of the Holy Ghost. And if you're a whole milk drinker, it's 3.5. And that says really, I was raised by women, so we drink a lot of non-fat. So trust me. Whew, whole milk. That's rough. It's rough stuff. So Jesus says, John talks about, in Matthew, John the Baptist is talking about, they're asking him about baptism, and he's talking about, I baptize for water, for repentance. But he says, there's one who comes, who's mightier than I, who I'm not even fit to remove his sandals, and he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You know what the fire is for? is to consume all those fleshly things. It was so that he could get the wheat, the spirit, the things that are there, and then burn everything else up and consume it. Then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up on the scene. And he realizes he is it. And then Jesus says, I must be baptized with you by baptized. Boom, the heavens open. A voice from somewhere. Maybe there's a great PA system. I'm not sure. But all of a sudden, it says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, I think that was God. And a dove appears on his shoulder. All of a sudden, recognizing that the Holy Spirit had come upon him. Everything changed from that moment on. Jesus wasn't just, I mean, you know the funny thing about religious people? Is they're seeing miracles, and then they're arguing I can't be God because it's Saturday. I'm like, what? Wait a second. He just healed this guy, and you're arguing it can't be God because it's Saturday. God don't work on Saturday. Holy day. Can't happen. I'm like, wait a second, wait, how does that happen? How do you sit there and see miraculous things? Oh, got to be the work of the devil. I just can't be God. Wouldn't be prudent. I wouldn't be how he'd do it. So stuck in a natural mindset that they're seeing the evidence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in their life, and they disprove it because, well, it's Saturday. Has God been working in your life? And you're saying, but God, it's Saturday. Maybe you're like, well, Jim, I'm not religious like that. But have you ever put limits on what he could do in your life? You ever said, well, that's for the spiritual folks. I mean, could you imagine the disciples? One was a zealot, one was a tax collector. You think Democrats and Republicans are different? You can't get more opposite. Once a tax collector was a Jewish person that said, oh, fine, I'll sell out for Rome and do whatever their bidding is. I'll just collect taxes on their behalf and keep a little for myself. And the zealot was saying, you know what? No, we're going to stand up against the Roman Inquisition, their thing, and we're going to fight. And Jesus says, perfect, come along. You guys would be great together. You're going to be my witness to all of Judea, the whole earth. Awesome. Can't wait for this to work out. I mean, could you imagine how many times Jesus had to separate blows from happening? I mean, these guys are in the boat. I mean, can you imagine the arguments? Weren't you the one at my mom's house?
Whoa, back up, Tiger. I was under the Roman influence.
You were taking money from my family. I mean, could you just imagine the hostility? What changed? Someone was full of the Spirit of God. Somebody walked in a fullness of who he was called. I titled this Overflow. The goal in your life is that you overflow with the Spirit of God in your life. The problem is we're so content to live within our bounds. Rivers are pretty when they live within their bounds. But when they get the flood stage, it's newsworthy. Things change. Cedar River is going to be 5 feet over floods, you know. GACC is going to be 10 feet when it comes to the Spirit of God. They're going to be over, their cup's going to overflow. It gets messy. Do you think Acts made sense? I mean, there's times where Pete's going, wait a second, how could you be filled with the Holy Spirit? You haven't even been water baptized. Theological issues, we got problems. This doesn't make sense. This isn't in the right order. Oh my gosh, like, that just isn't going to happen well. I'm going to have to become Methodist. Right, or I'm going to have to find something that fits because this doesn't work anymore. It's too messy. I don't do messy. It's outside my borders. It's outside my comfort zone. Welcome to
the Spirit of God. Yeah. Welcome to his purpose. Welcome to the king. Well, I mean, again, let's read Acts 1. So I believe this is the answer. It says, from your innermost beings will flow a river of living water. How much river is flowing from your life? If it's a little, good, guess what? He's going to turn it up. Because he wants rivers to flow out of the church. Out of his people. Out of his, the word baptism comes from another word. It's a derivative. And it was a word they used to dye clothes. Anybody ever tie-dye stuff back, you know? You know, if you speed tied, like you just took something, how much dye got on there, right? Just dipped it real quick. Well, what they'd have to do is they'd have to immerse over and over and over that clothing or that garment in the dye over and over and over again until it became saturated with the color. It's the same thing that God wants to do in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That you become saturated over and over and over and over. So a baptism isn't just this one time. Oh, yeah, I went to camp when I was 7. I was baptized. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. I even did that weird thing. Spoke in a different language. I am filled to the brim. It's been 35 years. That wasn't the point. The point was is that you would be immersed over and over and over and over and over to your cup. All of a sudden, people are bumping into you. Like, why are you so different? Well, oh, why me? Oh, because let me talk. And all of a sudden, there's something different. It says in Acts 4:13 that they marveled at the disciples because they were uneducated men, but they knew they had been with Jesus. That there becomes this thing that happens in your life that all of a sudden your natural levels are superseded by a greater source, and that's the source of the Holy Spirit. And you begin to overflow out of that abundance. Not about who you are, but out of the abundance of who he is. Oh, I'm getting excited. Calm down. So Acts 1. So again, we just got them. The disciples didn't do the best at the crucifixion. Was not their highlight moment. They all ran and hid. It wasn't their finest hour. I'm sure they would love God to have written that story a little better about how they responded. But now they're told to go hide in an upper room. Like, okay, we're waiting. We don't know what we're waiting for, but something's supposed to happen. And then it says all of a sudden, whoops. One page over. And then in verse 4, chapter 2, on day of Pentecost, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And then there was Jews that were living in Jerusalem, devoted to the men of nations. And they started to, they heard these sounds, and the multitude came together, and they were bewildered. When's the last time that the community of Maple Valley has been bewildered by the church of Maple Valley? Like, what in the heck is going on there? Bewildered. Crazy stuff. And because each one of them were hearing them speak in their own language, and they were amazed, and they begin to marvel. How is this so? They are Galileans, and each one of us was hearing. So it keeps talking about that. And then it says, they were continually amazed and were greatly perplexed. When's the last time your coworkers have been greatly perplexed by your faith, by the overflow of the Spirit of God in your life? I'm guilty. So what do we do if we're not there? Get baptized. Get saturated. Soak it up till we get there. That's all we can do. We don't just sit there and point fingers. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. No. We begin to believe God. The breakthrough can happen. That something can change, that the Spirit of the Lord will fall upon those places. So they're greatly perplexed. And then there's always the group, the mocking group. And then there was others mocking, saying, they're just full of sweet wine. A little too much to drink. One too many. So here's Pete. Here's Pete's solution. So here's Pete under the
under the fullness of the Holy Spirit responding to this situation. And I believe this is the answer for my earlier questions. And Pete asked and said, this is the 11th hour. He raised up his voice and he said, men of Judea and all of Jerusalem, let it be known and give heed. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. That it shall be in the last days, God shall pour forth his spirit on all mankind. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men will see vision. Old men will dream dreams. Even your bondservants and both your men and women in those days will go forth on my spirit and prophesy. I believe the greatest thing that's going to happen that needs to happen is there needs to be a pouring forth of the Spirit of God. Because you can give, I don't care who's in office. If there's not a pouring forth of the Spirit of God, it's not going to make a difference. You want to see ISIS change? I listen to the news. All they say is shoot him, kill him. What if the Holy Spirit poured forth? What if there was a Stephen that rose up in the midst as he's being stoned and being beheaded, and all of a sudden they're having Saul of Tarsus moments, and they're coming forth one after another, hundreds by the hundreds, confessing that I had a vision. The one I persecuted was the one I'm not to, and I want to serve him the rest of my life, and they start just giving their lives over to Christ. That ain't going to happen naturally. That's only going to happen if the Spirit of God is poured out. Some of you are sitting there like, you're crazy. Absolutely. Absolutely crazy. How could 120 people overthrow Rome? 120 people sitting in an upper room because the message of the Holy Spirit was released. The only way we're going to see change in our communities is if the Spirit of God bubbles up through us and it is released out. Quit waiting for somebody else to rise up and be the answer. Get baptized, get released in your spiritual gifts and your call. Be who you are called to be and watch the world change. Watch there be a transformation. Man, we're so good on time. Overflow. Man, there's nothing cooler. I mean, there's all these like warning systems for like natural disasters. But I was just sitting there thinking, what if there was a spiritual release? How does it start? How does a spiritual release start? This was spoken of, this word that I just read, that was spoken of thousands of years ago. Thousands of years ago, and it's still applicable today. The pouring out of his spirit, I believe, is the only thing that's going to transform this nation. The only thing that's going to heal the racial divide that's rising up is going to be a pouring out of our spirit like we've never seen before. Because you can't sit there and go to a Black Lives Matter and just debate the issue. Because it's a spiritual issue. There's something bigger going on. Quit trying to fight the fight in natural realms. We're not going to defeat. We're not going to see terrorism just go away. But there's got to be something that stirs us, that believes that, God, you have a plan, you have a purpose. Closing. Can you just stand up? If you're at a point where you would say, because I'm at a point where it's like, God, all I can do is yield to you. And are there points in your life that you haven't been willing to yield? Or maybe you just say, God, I need to see a spiritual download. Something has to shift in my life. I am so stuck in a rut spiritually. Well, guess what? You know what happens? You ever have that sponge that sits on the sink and it gets all dried out? I was just crusty. Maybe you're at crusty stage. And God's saying, you know what? I'm turning on the spirit. The faucet's running. and I'm going to saturate you. I'm going to baptize. Those things are going to break off. And all of a sudden, you take that sponge, and the first time it's still as hard as a rock. It's wet now, but it's still as hard as a rock. But you keep doing it over and over, and it starts to soften. It starts to soften. It starts to release. You know what's interesting is that sometimes you can even take it in clean water, and then the residue of the old soap begins to work again. The things that were there, the things that were deposited maybe or prophesied 300 years before in your family line begin to start to generate again. That's what needs to happen in the church. That's what needs to take place, that we need to start tapping into those things. We need to start seeing that release. We need to start seeing those things come forth and allowing that to penetrate our community and penetrate our hearts. So I'm just going to have the worship team come. I mean, we're not even at 11:30. I mean, we're at like not even an hour and a half. And I want to stir you to just sort of begin to let a cry out. If you need to come forward to say, God, I need a fresh baptism. Come forward. If you need to dust off the old tongues, release it. Release it. Release the Spirit of the Lord in your life, that it may guide you in all truth. In all wisdom. And so I just want to take a few minutes, maybe 5, maybe 10, maybe some, maybe 20, I don't know. But just begin to release that. If you want to go, go. You're dismissed. If you want to stay, stay. So we're turning over to Steve. If you want to come forward for that fresh release, that fresh fire, just come forward as we worship.